was it 2 weeks ago? 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago? Last time, 3 weeks ago maybe. Last time I talked, I mentioned that I had something on my heart, kind of a frustration for me of being the body of Christ, the Christians that I know and that I rub shoulders with, kind of being kind of lax in the area of truthfulness. And I'm not trying to point fingers, I'm mostly pointing them at me, but just kind of the idea of, and that got me thinking about this passage of scripture. So this is the same scripture I used last time when I talked about Jesus is the way. So today's topic is Jesus is the truth. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. And I just looked at Valerie. I thought, oopsie, I forgot. Nobody told me we had a communication problem, but the kids can go now. We're going to do communion at the end. That's the way I wanted to kind of position things. So they're going to try and come back in and join us for communion. And maybe they will come in like that. Maybe they won't. I don't know. They're sure leaving in a joyful hurry. So we talked. I talked last time about the way, and the way it kind of I interpreted it as kind of the means or the road or the path or the route to God, to be with the Father, to go to heaven. Truth. What do you think of with the term truth? The truth is faithful, dependable, trustworthy, unchanging, real or actual, genuine, all kinds of terms. I don't know what comes to your mind. Those are things that come to my mind when I think of truth. This is the truth, and Jesus is the truth. A lot of scripture verses talk about Jesus as the truth. One of the things I think we did, I did mention it in the last talk, there were a bunch of spies that the religious leaders had sent out, and they were questioning Jesus. And one of the things they said, "Teacher, we know that you speak and teach what is right, and that you do not show partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with the truth." Now, I would question the sincerity of those guys, because they were labeled as spies who were coming and trying to trick him in his words, but they were very accurate in this description of Christ, nonetheless. And John 1, right there, beginning of John. I've focused a lot on John. I did the last talk too, although I went into Romans a lot, I guess. But in the book of John, it starts out, in the beginning was the Word and all those things. John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Grace and truth. The whole book of John, you listen in it over and over again. If you read the King James, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you." If you look in the NIV or some of the newer translations, say, "Truly, truly, I say unto you," and yada, yada, yada. Very strong emphasis. What I'm telling you is the real deal. I'm talking truth here over and over and over again, especially, like I said, in the book of John. John 15:26. When the advocate comes, who's the advocate? The Holy Spirit. When the advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, that's the label he's giving for the Holy Spirit, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me, Jesus is saying. Another similar reference, John 16:13-15. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears and will tell you what is to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he makes known to you. Where's the Holy Spirit getting it? From Jesus. The Jesus and this Trinity really gets all codified kind of in these statements. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. That unity within the Trinity. God is making everything known to you, and that is the Spirit of truth. And kind of the opposite, what's the opposite of truth? Lies. Lies. And they're very destructive, as we all know. I hope you all know that they're very destructive. You ever sat in a chair that would let you down? We had a folding chair at our house that we would forget about. You know, we had several that looked alike, and one of them was like a trick chair, you know, and it seemed like most of the time my wife found it. And we'd have people come in to dinner, and we'd forget about that chair. We'd get some extra chairs, or, oh, we're going to play a game or whatever, and boom, chair would let you down. You know, she'd fall down or nearly fall down. Very scary feeling. How do you trust? How do you trust when you are questioning whether something's going to let you down? We went, my daughter Carlene was here and her family, and we went to see Little Women. Little Women. And remember that scene in Little Women with Amy skating after Joe and her I can't remember, like Lori? And the ice is too thin. Did you see the movie? Have you read Little Women? What happens? She falls through the ice. She falls through the ice. Yeah. I had a time when I was working on Mackinac Island one time, and it was wintertime, and we commuted every day from St. Ignace by snow machine. Now, I'm not a snowmobiler, and so I could do this. You know, all you got to do is twist the hand grip, and away you go. It's old machine. This was a long time ago, and it was a very old machine, and so we get out from it was parked at a motel there, and we started it up, go from the motel, we get down to the water, we get on the ice, and it is black, clear, crystal clear ice. That was a spooky feeling for me. How thick is this stuff? And I know the ships go through the channel, and they break up the ice, and can I trust this? Can I trust this ice? And then we get to a pressure crack. Well, heck, it was that thick. So, whew, whew. But really an unnerving feeling. Can I trust this? Can I trust this? And when people tell lies, your trust is broken. And it's really, really hard to reestablish that trust. I think we've experienced that as a congregation, haven't we? Over the years, you know. We've had times where, Can I trust leadership? Can I trust the leadership here? So we've all been questioning some things like that. Our daughter Carlene and her hubby were here, and they were talking it was a little bit interesting conversation, mostly talking with my wife, but I was overhearing a little bit of it. And they were saying, you know, our family lives here in California. They live in California, and we're in an area that is past the fault line. And we have earthquakes. And can you trust the ground under your feet? Is it going to be there? You know, what will we do if there's a big earthquake, the biggie comes? What will we do as a family? And they've talked as a family. We're going to walk. If we need to, we'll walk out. And they've been making a little bit of a plan. You know, we're trying to not be taken by surprise, and we're making some contingencies here. That was pretty remarkable to me. We don't think of that here in this region, although maybe your confidence was shaken with the power outage. And what am I going to do with my freezer, or how am I going to keep my house warm? A lot of things can be called into question when we don't know if someone's telling the truth. And life is full of battles and full of struggles. And I struggle. I know you do too. And what's the when I think of I'm going to come into a spiritual battle? Where do you turn in Scripture? A lot of us turn to Ephesians, to that armor of God. Take on the full armor of God. You can take your stand against the devil's schemes. What's the first piece of armor you put on? The first piece, the belt of truth. The belt of truth. You got to put that on first. That establishes everything else. You know, the sword hangs on the side and all this other stuff, but the first thing, we got to get truthful. We got to be telling the truth. I would like to learn another language. Would you? Anybody want to learn another language? And Spanish is one of the most common ones you'd see around. Well, Joe could teach me a thing or two in that way. I think a lot of people want to learn languages. I listen to a lot of AM radio sometimes at lunchtime at work and stuff, and there's all these, used to be Rosetta Stone was on, and now you hear Babbel and Duolingo. These are all quick way to learn a new language. Oh, it's an innovative way, and it's different, and we'll take a different approach than somebody else. A lot of different ways to learn a new language. You know what? I already know another language, or I can speak it. I can speak it, and it's not very flattering. When I was probably five or six years old, maybe a little bit younger, kind of my grandson Keenan's age, I lived in a little neighborhood. We moved from there when I was in second grade, so like 7 years old. So it was before that, and there was a group of kids in the neighborhood. I grew up most of my life on the farm, but this was a little neighborhood, and so there was a group of kids all hanging around together, and we were all, you know, I had a little girlfriend. Like I said, I was 6 years old maybe, and her name was Patty. And we used to show off, and my family had a tent set up in the backyard. We had a tent to play in all summer, and Patty and I would go in there with the neighbor kids. We'll do a kissing show. And kids would poke their head in the tent, and we would go, Well, Patty Thompson, my little, I wasn't going to say her last name, but Patty, and I were good friends. And it was innocent. We were young, you know. But one day, that was the era when I was that age, was a lot of Westerns on television. And I don't know if I saw it on TV. I got this idea. I'm going to make a trap. So I dug a hole in the backyard, and I took some water, and I poured some water in there. And then I started stirring it up. I made some real goopy mud. And then I don't remember for sure if it was an old rug or some newspaper, something I put across the top and sprinkled a little dirt. And that's my trap. Well, it was close to Easter time, and Patty came over and was showing off. I got some new shoes. I got some new shoes. Oh, I could see them a lot better if you would stand right there. Sploosh. Oh, crying. She went all upset. I'm all excited. My trap worked. She told her mom. And her mom called our house. And my dad answered the phone. He says, Dennis, did you make a mud pit? And, oh, no, Dad. Oh, no. Boy, did I answer for that. That was when you could spank your kids. Everybody did. Kind of. Boy, did I get a spanking. That was my first memory of having an experience of speaking that other language. What's that other language? Lying. I want to read a passage. Fairly long. I'll back up a little bit, I guess. Ephesians 20 to 25 talks about putting off falsehood and putting on truthfulness. Should put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, which I should have done right off the bat there. And I'm going to switch a little bit. I got to switch classes here. Proverbs 6. Starting in verse 16, I'm going to read 16 to 19. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him: haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick to rush into evil, and a false witness who pours out lies, and a man who stirs up dissension among brothers. Two of those are about lying. One speaks lies, and one who tells false testimony. Well, back to the book of John. There's a fairly long passage I want to read here from John, and it's a conversation with Jesus and those religious leaders. And remember, they're the church at the time. These are the this is church people he's talking to. And in John chapter 8, and I'm going to read 31 to 47 if you're looking in your Bibles. John chapter 8, starting verse 31. To the Jews who believed, he said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants. We've never been slaves to anyone." Even though they were under the subjugation of Rome at this time, and had been other times in history, but that's their pride that they're saying there. "How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin now, and a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, but you're looking for a way to kill me because you have no room for my word. I'm telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you're doing what you have heard from your father." This is weird. "Abraham is our father," they answered. "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you're looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the work of your own father." "We are not illegitimate children," possibly a reference to Joseph and Mary she was pregnant before you guys got married and all this stuff, possibly. "We are not illegitimate children," they protested. The only father we have is God himself." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I'm telling the truth, why don't you believe me? Whoever belongs to God hears what God says. Here's what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God." That's a powerful little passage to me. To me, it's very powerful. And you know, it's real easy to be flippant about, just a little, I won't tell the whole truth. I'll just say a little, all this, but it's business, or it's the government. It's okay to lie to the government, I just don't want them to know what really went on. I think we all do that. I do that. I've done that. I'm not proud of it. But we as a body, as Christians, yes, we're saved by grace and we're not by works, but we need to follow up our faith with works. You know, James talked about that. Glenn mentioned that last week in his talk, that we're all from Missouri, show me state in that regard. Show me your faith. Don't just tell me. Show me. I had a coworker, and I don't remember who the guy was for sure, but it's really stuck in my head. He said, you know, every time I've been ripped off in business, it was by a Christian. Every time someone really ripped me off, it was a Christian. That ought not to be. This group of religious leaders that Jesus was having this conversation with at the time, that was, we could compare it to the church. And many of us have come from other church backgrounds. I know I did. But you know what? I think it could be a real blessing that in a sense, one sense of the word, here at Stutzmanville, our standing was torn away. We don't have, I know the old Stutzmanville. In some ways, we're not the old Stutzmanville. In some ways, the old Stutzmanville was removed from us. We're not this denomination or that denomination or another. We can have a fresh start. We can be the people of God right here doing what God is calling us to do. And, you know, a lot of people, my son-in-law was asking me, hey, because we do this, I mentioned before, we do this Stones of Remembrance where we try to recall how we've seen God move in the past year. It's our New Year's tradition. My daughter and her husband, they do New Year's resolutions. Do you? I want a purpose in my heart to be more faithful in telling the truth. Do you? I think that's a great thing that we could do as individuals. I don't even want to say it as a body. As you, I'm talking to you as an individual. Would you purpose in your heart to be more truthful? We fall, we blow it, we miss the mark, we don't do it. The Bible's full of characters in there who were liars. Jacob. What's his name mean? Jacob means the liar or the deceiver. That's his name. But God changed his name. He became Israel. One who struggles with God. Do you struggle with God? I do. I struggle with God. I'm glad they had the scripture passage there of the Revelation song. That song. I want to read another passage from Revelation, a little different view of Jesus. You know, that was Jesus that was referred to in that song. I'm going to wrap this up with this reference, and then maybe the kids will get back here and we'll do communion. I hope they can make it back in here. But this is the reference, a vision of Jesus, and it's from Revelation 19, verses 11 through 16. Give you a second there to 19, starting in verse 11. Who's speaking again? Who's writing Revelation, by the way? John. I keep going back to John. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and wages war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Coming out of his mouth is a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. really different view of Christ from the mercy seat in that song. But this is Christ as well. Faithful and true. Faithful and true. Let's pray. Lord, help me. Just me. And maybe everyone else is saying me. I don't know who is, but just help me to be faithful. Help me to be true. Help me to speak truth. Help me to live truth. I thank you for your Holy Spirit, for the Spirit of truth that gives us the power. Help us to choose truth. I know it's easy to sometimes for us to think about what's the minimum I need to do to get to heaven? What's the bare minimum? Help us to not think that way. Help us to think of what more can I do? How can I follow better? How can I lead by following? Give us the grace to do that. In Jesus' name, amen. So the kids are going to be coming in soon. Yeah, I think Jason already left, I think, to go look for him. Maybe not. I saw him duck out. I guess I want to, because I've got a moment here, I want another little, I was recalling it when I was praying. The idea that, just a little bit of faith, just a little bit of God's grace, I don't want it to interrupt my life too much. I want my life to be my life, and I want to do my thing, and just get me into heaven. That's all I want. Just get me that far. And I'll tell you a real brief story. My wife always says, well, it's like I want to get on the bumper to ride to heaven. I just want to be set on the back bumper or on the tailgate of the pickup. One time when I was a teenager, we were helping a guy. I think he had a GTO. Pretty hot car in its day. And it stalled, and his battery wasn't working for whatever reason. And so we pushed him to get it started. And he said, hop on the back. So we hopped on the back. There's not much to hold on a GTO. And that car was very fast. And I'm digging my fingernails in the rubber around the back window. And we are going very, very fast. That is not a comfortable place to be in life. Is that how your faith is? Is that how your faith is? I hope not. I hope you're in the car. Hope you're not just clinging to the rubber around the back windshield, back window. Well, looks like the kids are coming in.